We want to make a very clear distinction between spiritual life and material life, we would have to say that the values of each life are entirely different. In material life, you believe very much that external things which are separate from yourself can help and assist you in the quality of your life or your happiness. Therefore, in material life, you are interested to improve your material circumstances. Better TVs, better cars, better apartments or even houses, better partners for different activities, better educations, and so on. It's material life, in one word, is a way which leads to the outside. Spiritual life is different. Spiritual life is a way which leads to the inside. And spiritual life always, therefore, aims at changing your inner environment. Material life aims at changing your outer environment, people, houses, activities, educations. Spiritual life addresses the city of the heart and changes there. You want to become free of those desires which bind you towards frustrations. You want to become free of greed and lust and anger, which are three gates in the city of the heart which lead to destruction. Instead, you want to develop qualities like compassion, faith, love, forgiveness, etc., etc. Qualities which have to do very much with your heart and the maturity of the heart. Spiritual life is never the property of one culture only. Although here in this Hare Krishna temple, we follow the ancient path of spiritual life as it is taught in the Vedic scriptures, the teachings of ancient India. We do acknowledge that the basic principles of spiritual life are also there in other traditions. One tradition is the European tradition about in the year 1600 to the 1700, in this period, there was one tradition which was called alchemistry. Alchemistry was becoming was an ancient knowledge. It became connected to the European emperors, the kings, the dukes, and so on, because the visible result of alchemistry was that you were able to transform ordinary metal into gold. Ping! You would have a golden cup. I don't know this art, so my cup is still a steel cup. The alchemists were looking for a formula which would enable them to treat ordinary metal in such a way that it would change its atomic structure and become gold. Some say the formula was found, others say it was never actually found. But what's important for us in this lecture is that the alchemists were not really thinking only of changing metal into gold. the reason why they were working with chemicals was the belief that they thought, if it is possible to find the principles through which one thing turns into another thing, then we will have knowledge or enlightenment which enables us to also change a materialistic heart into a spiritual heart. That was the whole idea. The core or the inner secret of alchemy was not really a material science, although it worked with matter, but it was a spiritual science, or let us say a science to transform the heart. It's very interesting that the ancient philosopher and great Vaishnava devotee of Lord Krishna, Sanatan Goswami, used an alchemical example to describe the transformation of the heart. He said, just like it is possible through a certain alchemical process to change ordinary metal into gold, it is also possible through the initiation into the spiritual science of Krishna consciousness to change an ordinary person and make him into a great saint, a Vaishnava Brahmana. By the way, if you want to know the formula by which you can change ordinary metal into gold, you can see me privately. I know it by heart, I can tell you. But since this is a spiritual lecture, I will not talk about this here in public. But if some of you are interested and have some chemical and yogic abilities, then I will tell you. I will test you first. But let us go back to the main subject. Changing the heart through a spiritual process. Let us just think for a while. What would you have to do in order to change one material substance into another? Do we have a physicist amongst us? Anyone? No, not physicist. You have to break it down. You have to break down the components. Yes, very good. What you would have to do is you have to somehow break down the atomic, the bonding which is there between the atomical particles and molecules. Now, but you would have to really also enter into the atomic level, and you would have to take it up to challenge which what is called in physics the strong force. The strong force is an attraction between the atoms, which or force which holds the atoms into place and therefore also the molecules, so that reality is what it is. If this force would all of a sudden not be here any longer, this room would fall into a little piece of dust. The room is the room because atoms are sometimes, in our scale of measurement, kilometers apart from each other. And therefore, built for this porcelain elephant and other atoms built the flowers, other atoms built your bodies, and so on. If you would change that around, you would change reality around. Hare Krishna. You would have to take it up with a force which holds the universe together. This is what the alchemist, the physical transformation of one thing into another would entail. So, my dear devotees and spiritual searchers and interesting people, this is a good analogy. If you actually want to change a person's heart, you will have to take it up with a very strong bonding, a very strong element. It's called the ego, the material identification. It's not easy. It's not a theoretical thing to change a person's heart. It is said it's more difficult to change a person's heart than to move a mountain. Has any one of you ever tried to move the Himalayan mountains for only 1 centimeter? It's very difficult. Therefore, we often find in spiritual life stories of failures. People who wanted to advance spiritually, who wanted to change the ego, who wanted to make a distance to their material desires, but who came back again to the very things which they wanted to leave behind. One of such examples is Shobari Muni. Shobari Muni was a yogi who was able to change his breathing to such an extent that he finally managed to sit in a river underneath the water and just meditate. He didn't need to breathe any longer. And he developed a tremendous amount of other mystical potencies just by being able to control and finally stop his breath. Once Shobari Muni in his meditation saw a sex movie. No, what he saw is he saw two fishes approaching each other in romantic intent. The fishes made a baby, in other words. And as he saw this activity of fish sex, he became so entirely attracted to this that he thought, oh, I should marry and take up a householder life. I should deal with this instinct responsibly. He was clearly agitated. His breathing control didn't work any longer because you can only have these yogic abilities if your mind is as peaceful and undisturbed as the surface of an undisturbed lake. Quickly he had to come out from his yogic position, out of the river. What to do now? He went out of the water and he approached the king Mandahata and said, I have heard you have daughters in marriageable age. I'm accomplished yogi Shobari. Now Mandahata saw this yogi who was covered by algs because he had been so long practicing yoga underneath the water. And he didn't want to disappoint the yogi and make him angry. And you never know, maybe an angry yogi curses you. So he said, my daughters are free to choose their own husband, go where they live. So he went into the palace where the daughters of Mandahata was. And on the way he said, why did the king give such a wishy-washy answer? Why didn't he say yes or no to my marriage proposal? Then he thought, maybe I don't look good enough. So what he did is, he changed his entire outlook. He took the rest of his mystic potencies and changed his body so that he looked like a prince, very strong, very beautiful, very energetic, and very attractive. So when he entered, the daughters of Mandahata told him, the princesses said, all together, this man is fit to become my husband. And because there were many women who thought like this, Shobari Muni said, I will marry all of them. He was not married to one man, to one woman, but to 50. Seemed to have been a very blessed family, so many daughters. So Mandahata, the story goes, was living together with his 50 wives, and they lived a very extravagant life, very rich. But at the end of the life, Mandahata called all his queens together and said, answer one question. Are you satisfied? The queens looked at him. Oh, our dear husband, you have tried to satisfy us. We have done many, many, many adventures together. But our heart feels like a vacuum. So Bari said, yes, the reason is that we have been materialists. We have gone outside. Only if you put Hrishikesha, the Lord, in the heart and worship him, can you be satisfied. So let us now leave our palaces, my dear queens. I'm sorry that I have betrayed you, disappointed you. I feel responsible for your well-being. Let us all go in the forest and engage in meditation about the Supreme Personality of Godhead for the remaining years in our lives. So it's sad because Sobari was a yogi. I mean, he knew how to control his thoughts and so on. A yogi who had a failure, he became successful by his intense endeavor. It's never too late to start spiritual life. There's never a reason to be totally frustrated with yourself. Even if you have a failure momentarily or temporarily, if you are sincere and determined, then many, many things can happen. We have Bhaktin Dido amongst us. This is Bhaktin Dido. You will see her theater talent after some time. She has a husband, Steve, who was shot by some criminal person at four almost vital places of his body. Steve, the doctors doubted that there would be any chance for survival for Dido's husband, isn't it? But Steve was so extremely positive about his life. He did not complain. He did not lament. He didn't allow his mind to become depressed. I mean, he was lying in bed. He was very positive, and by the power of his positiveness, he's now living very nicely. He can walk through the forest, and everything is possible for him. So I wanted to give this example to say that it is never too late. But, and I want to repeat this again, this little word, but the transformation of the heart is not so easy. But the transformation of the heart is the most important aspects of spiritual life. In the 12th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna talks about his devotees. He says they are never envious. He says they are well wishers of everyone in society. He says they control their minds and their senses and are not slaves to their changing thoughts and so on. When you hear Lord Krishna speak about the transcendentalists, you know it's a high claim. And sometimes you will wonder what would be necessary for you in order to change your heart and your character. How could it be possible that you develop such exalted qualities? Does any one of you have an idea? How do you change the atomic structure of your life? Is it at all possible? Or should we all become depressed and think it is not possible, it's too difficult? I would now like to hear some of your thoughts on this subject. Do you first of all agree that it is an important subject? Spiritual life is not about changing the frisura or dressing differently or saying not hello but Haribol. Spiritual life is something very real. It's something very responsible. Let us hear how it is possible, if it is possible. I will talk a little later. Dido's hand was up first, so we will hear. Surrendering and be honest to yourself. I will now, you know, sannyasis or monks in ancient traditions have this. This is a very practical dress. You can also use it as a towel. But usually in ancient time, this was used to beg. Please, and people would give bananas or potatoes into this. But I have come to beg for answers today to Copenhagen. How is it possible to change the heart?
In Buddhist countries, they go for begging.
Yes. If you want, I can come to you. Yes, so we want to answers. How is it possible to transform the heart?
So when you live in the association of the devotees?
You have to live in the association of devotees. I'm just collecting, I'm not commenting.
Understanding.
Top understanding. To be humble. We should serve those who have transformed their hearts. I'm saying this for all these things which then go on the internet. Your answers are highly important. Little Copenhagen will soon be in the world. News, yes. Yes. By writing everything down which bothers you. It's. Yes. By devotional service we can change the heart.
Suppressing
the ego.
The I.
Yes, please.
Saying the Maha Mantra.
By saying the Maha Mantra, the force of the mantra. Please.
I think as a Grihastha it's very important that we add Krishna to our life. And that's naturally being humble, being tolerant, and chant Maha Mantra, be in the association of pure devotees. So add Krishna to our life. And that is a possibility that our heart can perhaps change. I know.
In the association of Krishna.
Yes, in the association. Add Krishna to your home and everywhere
you are. Yes, so here's another answer. Add Krishna to your life. And add that will change your whole life and make you humble and so many things. Okay, we will go to our last answer.
Serving
the Vaishnavas. We should serve saintly people. Now, if you wouldn't be a temple devotees, and if I would have an ordinary audience, I would challenge you on all these points. I would say, so many who have taken such a path have failed. How do you explain this? They have done all these things which you have said, but I will not make you sad. I will make a very important point now. You cannot change your heart on your own. With your own strengths, it is not possible. If I have come to this world as a fallen soul and have left the spiritual world, I alone do not have the strength to pull me out of this world. In Germany we have der Lügenbaron Münchhausen. This is a mythological figure. It's a baron, or do we say duke, who always spreads lies. Once he said, I rode with my horse into the swamps. Do you know what is swamps in Danish language? Soap. It sounds like soup. Yeah, it is like soup. Yeah, into the morass. This is, and the horse was sinking down, and I was up till here in the swoop, in the swamp. But then I got a good intelligence, and I took my hair and pulled me out of the swamp with a horse. I was very strong on that day. This is a mythological picture. Is it possible? It's not possible. Our boatman has commented. It's not possible. How can, in a similar way, how can a person who is fallen into this world pull himself out of this world? It's not possible. On his own strength. It is only possible if a strong agent, or strong force, I should say, comes from outside your own system, your own thought system, and begins to work on you. And exactly at this place, the potency of the mantra comes into work. You can analyze yourself and analyze yourself and try to change your character. Many have tried. But it's very, very difficult, and you will only have either temporary successes or partial successes, not complete successes. But if you have a power which comes from outside of you and works on your personality, you will actually see that by the power of power, spiritual power, it's possible. Bhakti yoga, that's very important, and I really request you to now listen very carefully, because it might change your whole life and finally your whole heart. Means you have some knowledge how to contact spiritual energy, and then you apply this knowledge in your life, and by the potency of the spiritual energy, your life gets changed. My spiritual master gave once the example of iron which you put into fire. By the potency of the fire, the heat of the fire, this ordinary iron will become red hot, glowing, and will become like fire. It's not by its own strength. Well, I would like to give another example from physics. If I could use a magnet, a strong magnet, and then rub it in one direction over the iron, and by this simple process I would slowly magnify this piece of iron, so that a force which was not there before is now in the iron. I can use this iron, for instance, and attract other iron. My glasses, and all these are not the right metal, but this cup would go, and so on. So by knowing how to and where to contact the divine energy of God, the spiritual potency of God, the transformation of the heart, which is otherwise very, very difficult, becomes possible. You must know that your heart, and with now I mean, I will use a different Sanskrit word, manas, in your mind, your inner life, is composed of so many things. The reason why a person acts the way he acts can never be found only in one life alone. There are influences from different lifetimes which force one. For instance, I see our Rasa Biharini, our dancer from Czechoslovakia, dancing on the stage. And you can immediately see she was not a Czech person always. There is a life of where you contacted the Vedic culture before, and that's why you also are so crazy for dancing. You have to dance. It's even maybe more important for you at this stage of your life than to have a child. For a woman, usually to have a child is a very important project in her life. But no, the child is the dance for Rasa Biharini, isn't it? At this stage of your life. Because there is such a strong urging, I must dance for Krishna. That's a strong thing which cannot be explained by looking only at this lifetime. It's very difficult to change this complicated structure of any human being. And you are all like this. You have so many influences. In Sanskrit you would say sanskaras, or impressions in you, which explain the reason why you are the way you are, and why you react the way you are, and why you desire the things you desire. That can only change by a strong spiritual potency, which oops, what happened? Did I say the wrong thing? we will require this knowledge to know where we can get spiritual strength. Has any one of you ever crossed a desert? You have. When you cross a desert, what is most important? You need to know where you get water. Because the water and also dates are these little fruits which give the body instant energy, are very important if you want to cross a desert. So when you want to make your spiritual life a success, you need to know where you get the water. That is, where you get spiritual strength which keeps you going. In the ancient tradition, spiritual tradition, a very important source of spiritual strength is the sacred mantra. Because it is the vibration of the mantra which enters into the heart and begins to change these unhealthy structures or sanskaras for the better. If you chant the mantra and you make it a point to be fully attentive, then after chanting the mantra, your mind will be a different, will work in a different way. There are clinical tests on this which are amazing, but I won't bore you with this information now. And there are also practical experiences of devotees. You can even by chanting change your karma. There was once a man who died, a clinical death, and he was a very bad man, and he had died, and after his death somehow he was rejuvenated. He came back to life, in other words. And he went to the spiritual master of my spiritual master. He had the following to say: I saw hell. I was pulled out of the body towards Yamapuri. Yamapuri is the Sanskrit word for the abode of Yamaraj, the god of death. And I saw all these things. I saw these tortures. And then I was told there was a cosmic mistake. It is not yet your time. You will go back now. But in 5.5 years, we will come again, and that, at that time, it will be your time. The messages of death, called the Yamarajas, were telling him in no uncertain terms that he would see all these hellish things which he had already seen. So he came back to life. And he had only one thought: how can I avoid this destiny? Do you know what determines a person's destiny or future? His karma. For those of you who do not know karma, it's the activities which you do which bring a certain result upon a person. So he had a glance into his future karma. Every one of you has karma, and for someone who knows, a spiritually minded person, it's very easy to tell what your future is. He just has to look at you and he can tell you what you are, because he Sisi go nitai ki jai, because he can see your karma, or he can speak a little with you and can find out what type of activities you have done, what type of persons you are, and then it's very clear, very easily clear what your future will be. So this person had the karma to go to the lower planets in this universe, which the Christian religion calls hell, and which the Vedic scriptures say they're the hellish planets, or the places of corrections, where you are confronted with the reactions to your deeds so that you won't do them again. Sometimes, yeah, so then, listen to this. So this man wanted to not go to hell. I think we can understand him. So he went to the spiritual master of my spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada, and asked him, what can I do against my future? And he said, chant the mantra. He said, so easy? And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, it's not so easy. But if you chant totally, you will change your whole life and your whole karma, both the present karma, that is your present life situation, and your your future karma. If I would not have started to chant, I would now be a millionaire. But I chanted. I'm from such a family. But I chanted, and now I'm not, and I'm happy that I'm in lead a life of a monk. It would be disastrous and very empty, such a life. Chanting changes lives. It changes future. Make a try. See, most of the Hare Krishna people don't know how to chant. This is what happens when you invite Sachinanda Swami to your temple. They don't know that when you chant, you have to focus your mind and put the mantra in your mind and your mind into the mantra. You have to go into the spiritual sound vibration and be totally there. Then it works very nice. If you, however, chant and be inattentive, that is, you do something and be with your mind somewhere else, you can become what is called a spaced out person in Hare Krishna language, but in clinical language, a schizophrenic person. If you always do one thing, but you are never there with your mind, you are always somewhere else, it creates an imbalance in you. You won't be so concentrated. I'm not saying that inattentive chanting is dangerous, but if you make it a habit for many, many years, then it will not give you spiritual results. This inconsequence which you have in your practice, in your daily spiritual practice, might reflect in your daily life. It's not good. I'm not saying stop chanting, start attentive chanting. This is the message. It's very important. This is not unimportant. Have you heard the scriptures will say the path of spiritual realization is like a razor's edge? You have to be online. It's very important. But if you do this, the wonderful transformations will happen, and it is described in the scriptures that there will be shubhada. Shubhada means auspicious reactions, like you will have forgiveness, you will become free from the influence of bad stars, your mind will become very peaceful, and so on and so forth, and your bad karma will stop. Hare Krishna. This is one process where you can contact the spiritual energy and change your life. Not by your own strengths. Please keep this point in mind. It happens by the strengths of the spiritual energy which works in your life and changes everything. It spiritualizes you, just like an iron piece can become fiery or magnetized. This is how it is possible. Other ways which I will quickly say is, if you read in spiritual scriptures and apply a threefold process, it's also very important. You hear the new information, and then you must do the second process. It's called manana. Manana means reflection or meditating about it. The spiritual information which comes and enters your thought stream, and is something totally new. It's here, and you begin to reflect about it, and then you do what is called in Sanskrit nididhyasana, or you practice the new piece of information in your life, and then it will change. That is how you can change the life. Let us go back to the beginning, and which will also be the end. Our beginning discussion was where we distinguished material from spiritual life, and we said the spiritual life always means a change of heart, or change of the character, or the change of mind, if you so want. We said this is a process which is very difficult, because a person who has come into this situation of being a fallen soul needs a superior strength, a different energy to work on him. And we said that this is possible if you know how to contact the spiritual energy. I've given you two processes today, I didn't want to overburden you. That is chanting. And the mantra, the sacred mantra, and then is reading in the spiritual scriptures on a daily basis. I would like to end with a small little story which will make you think. Once in India there was a very famous doctor, very rich also. He had a whole hospital, and he had a son also, and he wanted to give that son for spiritual education into what is called in Indian an ashram or gurukul. So he brought his son, he was a very talented son, to the guru and told the guru, "I beg you, please make a good person out of my son." So after half a year he came to visit his son to see how the son was doing. And he saw his son in the toilets, but not doing what one thinks a person does in the toilet, but cleaning the toilets. And he was singing very happily, "Govinda, Govinda, Govinda." Famous man was disturbed and went straight to the guru and said, "I did not bring you my talented son to make a toilet cleaner out of him. I gave him for education and enlightenment." The guru said, so then the doctor said, "If you want toilet cleaner, I can pay you 10 servants. They can clean the toilets from morning till evening. I will pay them, not my son." So the guru said, "You are a doctor, isn't it?" "Yes, yes, yes." "When someone is brought to you for treatment, whom do you give the medicine? Do you give the medicine to the patient, or do you give the medicine to 10 servants?" So this is a very, very foolish question. Of course, the patient who has the trouble and who was diagnosed has to get his specific medicine, not some other person. "Yes," I said, the guru, "your son was diagnosed. He is like every one of us in this world, a person with false ego. He needs to become humble. His false ego, his disease must go." And my dear devotees, this was a good answer, wasn't it? This is really what is at the heart of the transformation of the heart. We need to address our egos. The ego in the heart is described in philosophy to be like a bandha. Bandha means a bonding thing. It's like a knot which binds the eternal soul towards maya, towards illusion. And it is this ego which we have to sever, to cut or transform if we want to have a transformation of the heart and the transformation of our lives. I wish you all success in applying this very ancient and spiritual knowledge. With great respect, I have given this lecture to you in order to serve you. It's not that I think that you are very egoistic or so on. No, no, I found very wonderful people, and the Danish people I have met on this journey are very, very nice and very interested and very kind. I really request you to try to get to know this ancient spiritual knowledge and apply it, and you will see wonderful transformations in your life. You will not believe what happens with your life. All Yes, by the wonderful strength or energy of the spiritual world. Mm-hmm. Hare Krishna. Now I want to know if you have any questions, or to see how to put on my dress again. So nice if you have an easy dress. Finished. Are there any questions, serious questions? Jagannath Prabhu, Jagannath Das, I see there is a question in your mind. No, not a specific question, many questions. This is a good question. The question I would like to repeat is, if it is true that our own endeavors cannot bring about success in spiritual development, then why does the Bhagavad Gita and other spiritual scriptures so often stress the need for endeavor, determination, etc.? And the second question, if my endeavors cannot bring any success, then I might as well just not do anything. No? So, when we were talking about this morning, when you are following a spiritual path, determination and endeavor is one part of the spiritual path. The other path, and this is a much bigger part, is the Kripa Shakti, or the spiritual energy through which you are helped. In classical Indian philosophy, there is this discussion, mercy, you know, that's the strength which comes from outside, or endeavor. And an example is often given to depict the two sides. It's the example of carrying young kittens or young animals. The strong cat carries the weak kitten. This is one way of transportation. That's the illustration for mercy, where the where God comes into our lives and helps us. The other example for the own endeavor is the monkey way, not Milky Way, the monkey way. Monkey way means here the weak little monkey is trying to catch hold of the strong monkey ma, and monkey ma is galloping. Monkey mama is galloping through the forest. Which one do you think is more safe? It's the cat way, because here the strong mother cat holds the weak little kitten, whereas in the monkey way, the kitten has to just lies under the belly of the mother. I've seen many accidents in Vrindavan where the little monkey babies fly through the. So I hope you got the point is that the way of mercy, where the strong takes care of the weak, is more safe than the way of endeavor, where the weak one has to do all the activity. But in the path of bhakti yoga, it's both. You have to endeavor as much as you can, up to your natural limitations, to invoke the spiritual energy, to show Krishna, and then the spiritual energy will take over to show him that you are not indifferent to his mercy, and that you want it very strong. At that time, the energy will come. I would like to express this in business terms, because many of our devotees from the Indian community are here in Copenhagen for business, most probably that's to earn money. You know, when there is a small little shop which wants to do many things, it can't do anything on the market because it's so limited as finances. But then if a big company invests in it, whoop, something can happen. So we need investment from above, the investment from the spiritual energy into our lives. And in order to get it, we endeavor in the ways we can. But rest assured, on one's own, one is always in danger. Like the story of Sobari Muni showed. Huh? So both are there. A mixture of both. Yes. I get the feeling that I went over time a little bit. You announced that I would stop at 4:30, and now it's 10 minutes past 5. This is a scandal. I will stop here. I will just do something which is forbidden now, to make a little advertisement in a spiritual place. I wrote a book which took me 5 years to write. It's called the Gayatri book. It's a very, and we have brought 4 copies with us, which will be lying on the table. So if you want to look at it, you are very much invited to look at it. And if you want to purchase it, then we don't have to carry them back to Germany. This was enough. But please forgive me. I know I'm impossible, but what to do? So I want to thank you very much. I will pray to our deities in Germany, Radha Madan Mohan, that all of you become great saints, that your hearts will be transformed, hopefully within 1 year's time. That you become very empowered spiritualist. I very much appreciated being your guest. And now our Mataji will tell us how to continue with the program. Hare Krishna, thank you very much. Yeah.